How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are all alone. I did not invite Adam. Adam's at Sonic Temple, I do believe. So he has been rather busy. But there's always stuff to talk about, so I guess we shall get into it. I decided we ought to start with the football, get the football out of the way. There's about a billion political stories, so if I want to talk about the football, you gotta start with that first. By the way, last hour we had Patience on. Patience was great. Patience was great. I thought she sang everything just about as well as I'd heard it sung. So there's that. I think the Carrie Underwood song was Before He Cheats was basically just as good as the version of hers. To be fair, it's not a song I listen to on a regular basis, but Vienna was good. Piano Man was good. Good stuff, yes. But as far as the football goes, Jonathan Gannon, the Packers' new defensive coordinator after Jeff Hafley has been taken to the Dolphins and he stole half the coaching staff. Jonathan Gannon, he said that the Packers will not have a scheme. So I do believe they ran like base 3-4 or base 4-3. I get them mixed up. It's the same thing to me. I'm not a coordinator. I just watch football. I get very rough defensive schemes. I can see and have a better job, but nonetheless. And he said that the Packers will have run an NFL-style defense that just adapts accordingly. So you could run like 4-3 one moment, 3-4 the next moment, Tampa 2 one moment, you know, just pick a defensive scheme, and I guess we're running them all. He's probably got a handful of plays. In college, you can run something like this. I don't know about on defense, but I know on offense they run just NFL-style offenses. And that's basically, you know, a mix of everything you do. College is big on the RPOs and the run game and, you know, specialized pass looks and things like that. But pro-style offenses tend to, you know, focus on the whole nine. You know, you got deep passes, play action passes, run passes. Not the occasional RPO. RPOs aren't that popular. They are becoming more popular in the NFL, though, so perhaps it'll college, you know, just got the lead on that. But yeah, so Jonathan Gannon says that the Packers will have a scheme that just adapts. And honestly, I like this idea, because, you know, every scheme's got a weakness. Now you have to handpick plays rather well, because you can't train all the plays and all of the things. I mean, you couldn't even train all the plays in one scheme. I suppose you could, but you'd look rough. So there's that. So I'm excited for Jonathan Gannon, by the way. I did not know much about him until I saw this quote. I didn't even know we hired somebody, truth be told. But Jonathan Gannon, he was the... truthfully, I don't know what he did. I know he's been a coach at Arizona, but I don't really know what he did at Arizona. He's a defensive coordinator for us, so I assume he's a defensive-minded coach. Who's the last head coach I remember the Cardinals having? Cliff Kingsbury. I think Cliff Kingsbury is the last coach I remember them having. Nonetheless, I don't know. He's probably a defensive coordinator who got fired and then came to us as a defensive coordinator. Well, I guess I'll just look it up real fast. Apparently he was the last. I didn't know they fired Cliff Kingsbury, so I guess Cliff Kingsbury's been fired. Jonathan Gannon got the head coaching job for 2 years, and then he got fired, and now he's defensive coordinator at the Packers. Originally, he was Philadelphia Eagles defensive coordinator from 21 to 22 before getting a head coach offer at Arizona. There you go. Little backstory. He apparently did not do great at Arizona, but he has a good defensive scheme. So that's always good. Now, Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby to enter gambling addiction program after placing thousands of bets. Never on his team to lose, by the way, so go ahead and get that out of the way. He wasn't betting against his team. That's good. I think that he's doing it the right way. I think that should he have not, I can't think of who it was, but there was a rookie who came in from, I want to say, LSU a couple years ago, who was looking at something like 5 years in prison because he had placed bets. And that's a big no-no. And the federal agencies got involved and whatnot. By the way, I do believe if it's a crime committed on a computer, it's pretty much an instant felony. I mean, they don't play around with computer crime. And gambling or placing bets online is considered computer crime because I don't know why, but it is. I guess because bookies aren't a thing anymore. You got big old bookie companies. But yeah. Now, speaking of gambling, the NFL has asked the CFTC to ban. I'll just read the quote. The NFL wants a number of contracts they deem to be easily manipulable by a singular person banned, such as, like, if a kicker will miss a field goal or if a quarterback's first pass will be incomplete. Things that are knowable in advance, basically. Yeah. Now, by the way, the CFTC, the Commodities and Future Trading Commission, has taken several states to court over their legal interventions with prediction market platforms, and states argue that their power to regulate sports betting means they have jurisdiction over these platforms, while the commission argues that these contracts are swaps and thus fall under its regulatory power. Now, I don't want to be... Oh, like a conspiracy theorist or anything. But I think the NFL's right, for once. I think that they made a good call. I think the less sports betting is good. I think that after sports betting, you've had a lot of allegations of refs rigging games already, and, you know, none of them have been proven true. I mean, in the NBA, there was a whole thing in which apparently a coach and two players, I do believe, were, like... allegedly, I don't know, conspiring with the mafia to rig games. So I don't know why the CFTC is against this. I mean, I guess it's just free market kind of a thing, I suppose. But I would think that the body whose job it is to regulate future trading would understand that betting on things that you could be certain are going to happen can lead to rigging of games. Now, it is just one play, so it's not like the outcome of games. I mean, like, a quarterback could place, like, a multi-million-dollar bet that his first pass is going to be incomplete, and then just, you know, hike the ball, wait a little too long, scramble out of the pocket, and throw it out. And then, boom, incomplete pass, million-dollar payout, looks like a legitimate play. Kickers obviously missing field goals. I mean, Brandon McMahon has missed 3 field goals last year against the Packers. Or against the Bears when we were in the playoffs. He played for the Packers. Now, I don't think he, you know, was placing bets or anything. But, you know, he could have raked in a fat payout right there. You know, missed 3 in a row. And that would have been a big old payout. So, yeah, I mean, that's all I got as far as the football goes. But there was a story that mixed both politics and football, which I figured I would talk about. The Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin last month introduced a bill that would give fans free live broadcasts of their home state's professional sports teams. So Tammy Baldwin is a Packers fan, by the way, so a Wisconsin senator put this forward. That's good. I think, oh, by the way, it came because the NFL had given Netflix a contract for the Thanksgiving Eve game. In the Thanksgiving Eve game, you have to have Netflix to watch. So if you want it, you can't, like, just pay, like, a one-time thing to watch it. You gotta, like, get a whole subscription. So, you know, I think that that's no good. I think that, you know, you should just not do that. But, you know, obviously Netflix and the NFL are gonna fight it, but, I think that it would be good if this happened. I think it'd be, good work against the NFL that's in favor of the people who watch the NFL. By the way, I do believe the bill is called the For the Fans Act. So there's that. For the Fans Act, you could get free Cleveland Browns, Columbus Blue Jackets, Columbus Crew, Bengals. Who else we got up here? I don't know if they televise HAL games, or sorry, AHL games. We got the Cavaliers. You know, we could be watching all kinds of free sports if this thing passes. I do believe that that basketball is already free, and as is hockey. I could be wrong though. I don't watch either of those. I watch hockey in the stadium. Besides that, it's not really a thing I think about. But yes. So as of now, I guess we're going to be talking about politics. Just politics. If you want to call in and talk about anything else, feel free. 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. Doesn't have to do anything with the NFL, politics, monopolies, and anything I had been talking about yet. U.S. forces fired on and disabled two Iranian tankers on last Friday after exchanging fire with Iranian forces in the Strait of Hormuz. We have a ceasefire going on right now with Iran so we can negotiate peace. And we decided that we were going to escort people through the strait, which led to, obviously, firefights as we were trying to, escort people through the straits. And then we stopped escorting ships through the straits because we wanted to negotiate with Iran. So, what was the point of getting ships through the strait to begin, escorting ships through the strait to begin with? And now, if you're so worried about a ceasefire, why are you firing on Iranian tankers? It just... I don't know. Also, oil tankers... I mean, come on. Seize it. I just feel like firing on oil tankers is some kind of environmental disaster in the waiting. And that's, not great. So, there's that. But nonetheless, I guess, what are you going to do about it? We hope that that whole thing ends soon, and we continue on. Now, the Pentagon has released its first batch of UFO records, and Trump says that people can come to their own conclusions. Now, I don't know that UFOs are real in the sense of, like, flying saucers and whatnot, but I do tend to believe in aliens, but more so, like, I just think it seems a little arrogant for us to think that in all this big, massive, essentially infinite universe, we are the only galaxy of thousands of, if not hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, I don't know, I don't truly know how big the universe is, galaxies. You know how many planets are in there? I'm sure at least one of them has life on it, except us. Now, I don't think that they're, futuristic flying, teleporting around and flying saucers and, everything like that. But, it wouldn't surprise me if they were just, basically people on another planet wondering if there were people out there on another planet. Seems logical to me. But I don't, I haven't seen them, so, it is what it is. Probably will never see them also, there's that. Now, this all started because President Barack Obama got on a podcast and then said that aliens do exist, but, I don't know, something about, they don't hold them at Area 51 and... But yeah, President Obama just, randomly saying, oh yeah, aliens exist. People kind of went crazy with that. So aliens exist according to President Barack Obama. And so Trump was asked about it on, an Air Force One press conference, and he said that, he'd consider releasing documents, which he has. and that people could come to their own conclusions. Now, like I said, I have not seen any of this stuff. I really do not care, truth be told, about aliens. But pretty cool, I guess. You know, we've been talking about aliens for, I don't know who's we, I guess, but people have been talking about aliens since forever. So that's interesting. Now, this is a little more of a story, I would guess. ABC lawyers accuse the FCC of punishing the network for political reasons because, you know, FCC Chair Brendan Carr said that they would be opening law enforcement action into the View, or I guess looking into the View, because they claimed that they violated equal time rules. Because they featured a U.S. Senate candidate from Texas, James Tallarico, without affording the same platform to all of his campaign rivals. I didn't know there was a law in which you had to do that. I'm going to be 1,000% honest with you. But, yeah, so I don't know if maybe they didn't offer, or if he asked to come on and they said no, or how that whole thing happened, but it did. The station's lawyers argue that some may dislike certain or even most of the viewpoints expressed on The View or similar shows, but that such dislike, however, cannot justify using regulatory processes to restrict those views. And then they also noted that they invite people on like J.D. Vance, Marco Rubio, and the likes, and that they, you know, don't come on. So that's, on them, I guess. Now, I don't know what the whole situation is here. I think that they probably shouldn't be sued, truth be told, but I think that if there is a thing in which that you have to have equal time, I would figure you're just going to invite both people anyways. I would assume it's something like you don't have to give both of them equal time. You just have to basically offer them both equal time. So if one says no and the other one says yes, you can have the one that says yes. You know, without being in, violation of the rule. It would just make sense. So there's that. I mean, I don't know how that whole thing's gonna work, and I think that the FCC could just calm down. Brendan Carr, I do believe, this is the whole thing in which he said, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. And then people were like, you know, that's literally a threat towards, that's a threat towards The View, and ABC. So Brendan Carr, I guess, is not very popular as of now. I think that, yes, The View is probably, I don't watch The View. I could believe it's biased, though. I think that a lot of the media tends to be biased now. I just don't watch the media. I read my news. I think the AP does the best job of reporting everything. Who, what, when, where, why. The Guardian does also a good job reporting everything. So, yeah. But I don't know. I just don't watch the news, people. You gotta condense too much, I think. I watch interviews and things sometimes. With, you know, people. I watched the Phil Donahue interview Bill Clinton. I watched Donahue interview, Ayn Rand, you know, a few people like that. Watch some Johnny Carson interviews. Johnny Carson's got his own channel on Tubi, so if you're a fan of Johnny Carson, Tubi is free. You can just download it. I do believe you need to make an account, but you can just watch TV from that point. There's not even an option to put in a credit card, I don't think. I was going to try, because they have a lot of fights on there, and I like to watch the fights. But you got to watch the ads, too, and that's obnoxious. But it's just like a TV, so, you know, they got live TV. But, yeah, that's good. I don't know why that just came to mind, but, yeah, Tubi's good stuff. Now, here recently in Ohio, we did talk about Dave Yost resigning from the Attorney General post, and what DeWine was going to do. There was a thought process that DeWine might appoint, the whole line of people, and you know, J. Edwards would get treasurer, and LaRose would get auditor, and then it's a big long thing. I think it's LaRose gets auditor. I don't remember. Nonetheless, anyways, everybody who's running for that position would get that position. Would basically be in that position come the general election. They'd be the incumbents because they would have been appointed there. But instead, DeWine appoints Andy Wilson to the attorney general job, and yeah. I would assume the party's pretty upset with that. I figure Dave Yost wanted DeWine to appoint. I don't even know why I can't think of who's running for I don't know. Anyways, yeah, I would assume that that's what was wanted of him. They probably wanted him to make those people stronger candidates by just making them the incumbents. Now, I wasn't really a fan of that move thought. It didn't happen, so good on DeWine. Grateful. I love that. Now, Dave Yost, like I said, is probably upset, but there's not a whole lot he can do about it. He's not in office. Now, he could always rescind his resignation, I guess, but they would have to accept it, I guess. So I don't know. I wonder what Dave Yost is going to do, and I wonder how this makes DeWine fare within his party. But nonetheless, I think that DeWine made the right choice here. I don't think you should be putting your finger on the scale of the race. I think you should let the voters decide, as it were. Now, as of recently, the U.S. Border Patrol Chief Michael Banks has resigned, and that, you know, puts him along the same ranks as, like, Pam Bondi and Kristi Noem, and soon to be probably Kash Patel. You know, there are things like, just people like that, I guess, not things. People like that. You know, it doesn't really surprise me. I don't know what he's been doing as border chief, but I know ICE has been going crazy, and I don't think ICE is exactly the border. I mean, I don't know. It's, you know, immigration. I mean, I figure that'd be the border people. Nonetheless, U.S. Border Patrol, he has resigned. So I don't know. Maybe they're not doing, maybe he's not doing too great down there, but, yeah, so there is that. As of 6 o'clock, by the way, the Supreme Court rejects Virginia's bid to restore a congressional map favoring Democrats. Fair enough, I guess. I don't know how you can do that unless they already voted in there. I mean, didn't they tell Texas they could do it? Wasn't that a thing? They told Texas they could do it, so then California's like, well, if Texas can do it, we can do it. And then it just ended up being a whole thing. So I think you gotta let them do it. Anyways, there was a bill put forward, by the way, on the Senate floor to withhold pay from the senators, and I do believe congressmen in general, during government shutdowns. So, they will not be paid during the government shutdowns. Unanimous approval does not surprise me. I mean, I wouldn't want to be seen as voting against that bill. I mean, it's not the greatest, look to be voting against that bill, I would assume. But there was a guy who voted against the release of the Epstein files. And he basically just said that, you know, victims' rights and whatnot. But yeah. So, I think it's good that the Senate won't be getting paid as far as the government shutdowns go. I remember that was a big contention before, and that, you know, they didn't really care if it opened back up because they're still getting paid. Some of them did forego their paychecks. So, I think that it was the right thing to do, and bipartisan. If only we could be more bipartisan. Now the things that, so this is the thing that most recently happened, I do believe. Actually, no, the Supreme Court ruling. But, Trump says that the U.S. policy on Taiwan has not changed, and, warns Xi Jinping that, to not take action, let me rephrase. Trump told Chinese President Xi Jinping to not mess with Taiwan, or it could lead to conflict between us and China. Now, I would figure that the U.S. policy on Taiwan is going to be the same. I would figure we're going to protect Taiwan. Taiwan is the world's largest producer in computer chips, pretty much has the global monopoly on it. And now people think this is an overreaction, but the computer chips that Taiwan produces can't be produced anywhere else in the world, or if they can, it's something like they produce 98% of it, I'm sure. It's just got something to do with the machinery, I guess. But nobody else produces them. So if China got a hold of them, they'd use them as diplomatic leverage. And anybody who doesn't have them would probably be rather behind. So not great. And Taiwan's kind of on our side. So, you know, we're obviously good with people who are on our side. Now, I'm no tech expert, so don't, you know, I mean, look into it for yourself as far as the whole computer chips go. But I do believe that they produce a special kind of computer chip that's not produced like anywhere else. And if you don't have that computer chip, then we would be, you know, behind as far as everybody else goes. Everybody who has the chips, at least. Also, that was, I do believe, Marco Rubio said the whole thing about Trump and the Taiwan policy. China state media, I remember reading, also said that Xi Jinping warns Trump to not, or maybe I have it backwards then. Nonetheless, Xi Jinping state media had said that Xi Jinping had told Donald Trump to not mess with Taiwan because we would end up in a conflict. Now, I don't think that the U.S. policy on Taiwan is going to change. I think we've been pretty chummy with Taiwan for a long time now, and I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. And, so there's that. Now, they said that it was a good meeting as far as, you know, normalizing Chinese and American relations. I don't believe Donald Trump. I mean, you can't have a story that says Chinese state media says that Trump was warned to not interfere with Chinese politics as far as Taiwan goes. And also do good as far as increasing your I don't know. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Anyways, you have to support Taiwan. You don't have to, I guess. But it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me to not. And it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that you're going to have the Chinese state media say that Trump was warned to not do so. And then, I don't think that was beneficial at all. Anyways. By the way, after that meeting, Donald Trump did invite President Xi Jinping to the White House on the 24th of September. So I don't know if Xi Jinping is going to come. I'm sure he will. That's going to be good. I'm sure that nothing's going to come of that. Obviously joking, I'm sure something's going to happen. I don't know that it'll be good. But we're waiting for that, I guess. You got about 4 months to go. By the way, if you have anything you'd like to add, do feel free to call in 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. After the whole Trump meeting with Xi Jinping, by the way, he did say he was unsure about supplying weapons to Taiwan. Now, I think I think we should just give weapons to, not give, sell. It's a trade deal. We make a couple $1 billion. I don't remember the exact trade deal, but we give them stuff and then we get $4 billion. Or something like that. I don't remember the exact number of billions, but it's a trade deal. Nonetheless, I don't think Donald Trump's gonna... I mean, Donald Trump can't back down to China. He's China. I don't know. I'm not the president. I don't know what his plans are, but I think he's probably just trying to figure out some better way to do so without angering China. Upsetting China would definitely not be beneficial to the economy. I could say that much. I remember the tariff war with China that lasted about, you know, a month. By the way, on this meeting to Taiwan, or on this meeting to China, I just have to complain. He did bring, Donald Trump being he, did bring, like, Marco Rubio, and, you know, I don't know who all was there as far as politicians go, but he brought a bunch of the world's richest people, well, America's richest people at the very least. He brought Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, Elon Musk, the richest man on Earth, the NVIDIA CEO, Jensen Huang, or Huang, I don't know. BlackRock chairman, Blackstone chairman, Cargo chairman, Citi chairman, Coherent CEO, like CEOs of banks. This is aerospace, MasterCard, Meta being like Facebook, Instagram, and you know that the like. There's no reason that all of these world leaders... they're not world leaders. There's no reason that they should be there, because they're not world leaders, I guess is the point. There's no reason that the business people, the CEOs of the biggest companies in the United States, tech companies and banks, need to come to China to try to make deals with China. I don't see, like... It's not... I don't see it as politically. I mean, maybe he don't. Maybe I don't know. Maybe Trump's just like, oh, you do this, and we'll invest. You know, in the, you know, I don't know. But I can't see it being great. I know Elon Musk was there. By the way, Elon Musk was there. I know I mentioned that like four times already, but I think people kind of forgot that they had a whole like falling out, and now they're like chummy again, and that and now they're flying to China together. That's not suspicious at all. I think Trump has probably made more money off of his presidency than he's made in his entire life combined, you know? I mean, you know, he's the... I think, allegedly, taking bribes. He's just not exactly on the up and up as far as that goes. So, there's that. And the last thing I wanted to talk about... is Pentagon the so you know the Pentagon is quietly shutting down legally required the Pentagon quietly shut down a legally required program to prevent civilian deaths by military, a watchdog organization finds. So it would seem to me that we are just becoming like Russia. Now, I don't think Donald Trump's going to get the third term. If Donald Trump gets a third term, we may or may not, you know, we lost. I mean, that's, you know, I think we're Putin at that. Well, I think he might as well be Putin at that point. Which is crazy. Putin is such, now, not to sound like I'm a fan of Putin, but Putin is a brilliant guy. I mean, you don't set up a whole, like, the people, I don't know, Trump's just not Putin. I mean, he's just not. Now, Putin's not good either, and I wouldn't want to live in a regime controlled by Putin. But, you know, at least Putin's got some brain capacity to him. Putin's a smart man. Former KGB agent. Very, resourceful. Donald Trump's not that. And I don't know what Donald Trump's out for other than money, and maybe himself, and his kids. I think his kids have made a lot of money off of his presidency, too. There was bets placed. Now, there's no evidence, of course, because why would there be evidence? But there's no evidence, of course, but there were bets placed before the invasion of Iran, the invasion of Venezuela, like, the night before it happened. And then, you know, it happened. So, there was that. There were a couple other things, too, like bombing Iran, I think, was one of them. It's just, like, his kids, I think it was his kids, who put bets on that. Because, you know, Barron Trump, I do believe, came up a couple, like, tens of millions of dollars after the whole Venezuelan invasion. I could be mistaken about which kid it was, but, or maybe which invasion. I don't know, it was hard to tell at this point. But, nonetheless, I think that they're betting using the, prediction markets about what's gonna happen, and, make a whole lot of money off of it. I don't think Trump really cares. There's that. Also, speaking of the prediction markets, there was something else I wanted to talk about. I can't recall. But, yes. Trump is just no good. And I think his... also, they have crypto coins. His sons have a Trump phone. I don't know if you've heard of the Trump phone or not. Nobody's gotten the Trump phone yet. You had to pay $100 to get this Trump phone. And it was supposed to be all American, made in America. 100% made in America. But it's not. They had to change their website to say, like, touched by American hands during manufacturing. Because they found out, you can't buy all this stuff in the United States to make a smartphone cheap enough to sell for, like, $500 or whatever they said it was going to be. It's a whole thing, and nobody's gotten their smartphones yet, to my knowledge. I could be wrong. I mean, you know, I've looked. I haven't seen anybody who got one as far as, you know, like news stories go. I haven't seen anybody with a Trump phone, but they are supposed to be coming. So, we shall see what happens with that. Now, I think it's going to be probably the biggest piece of crap you'll ever buy. But it'll be a smartphone, and they'll say that they gave you the product, and, you know, so on and so forth, like the Trump Bible. They just make it super cheap, and then upsell it to you, and then you buy it, and then they're massively rich. I don't know. It's a mess right now. I think people should vote. I don't know, this is kind of a tangent, but I've got nothing else to talk about, I suppose. If you have anything you would like to say, nobody's called in. If you have anything you'd like to say, 740-383-9944. But, there was a rant there. What was the rant on? 1 second, I'm gonna take a drink. All right. The rant, I don't know, but I'll just keep talking about how Trump's a crook. The man has, like I said, the crypto coins. There's the, like, Melania has a movie now. Or a documentary, I guess it's a documentary. TikTok's back. They were supposed to ban TikTok because it was supposed to be some big threat to national security. It never got banned. It's just a mess. And I remember the rant now. It's about voting. I think more people should vote. You know, I've talked to so many people who are just discontented with the way it's going. They're like, you know, why am I even voting? Nothing changes. And then I gotta look at them like they're stupid. Like, you know, things have changed significantly in the past, like, 2 years. I don't know what you're talking about. So, there's that. Things do change. You just don't... I guess for some reason you don't want to admit that things change. So there's that. But, I don't know. I think if people really didn't want to vote for the candidates that are at hand to vote for, show up, you know, present your ID, do the whole nine, sign the paper, you know, go to the voting booth, next, finish, submit, print, whatever it says. I don't know exactly what it says. Print a blank ballot. You know, they might put up better candidates if the if the voter turnout was something like 90% one year, and only like 45% of those ballots actually had votes casted, you know, they might actually be like, huh, and then try to do something different. Because apparently 80% of the people, or 90%, whatever number I said off the rip, are willing to vote. You just give them crap candidates. So, I don't know how you fix that problem, truth be told. I mean, I guess at this point I'm just complaining. I don't think you can force people to vote, because that'd be compelled speech under the First Amendment, I do believe. So I really couldn't tell you, but we gotta get people to vote. People tend to not care, and I don't know what you can do to make people care. But I don't know. I don't know how true it is, but, you know, you always hear that saying that, well, as of, you know, last year. Funnily enough, last year is when I started hearing it. The, you know, America 250 is coming up, and the average life expectancy of a country, or a kingdom, or an empire, however you want to, however the thing is phrased, most countries collapse after about 250 years. And boy, howdy, if that's not true, we're certainly on track to be, 260. like, it's not looking great. Now, we can fix it. I'm a firm believer that it can be fixed. You just gotta put in some effort. Like, everybody. Everybody gotta put in some effort. Everybody gotta show up to vote. And actually pay attention to what you're voting for, and who you're voting for, and what they think. But I don't know that it truly, I don't know that there is a way to truly get people to care. I mean, like, I figured that, you know, more people would care about the election this time around, and it seems that the only thing anybody cares about is gas. Yeah, so, like, I buy gas, too. I get it. I want gas to be, like 50 cents a gallon. I would cry if gas was 50 cents a gallon. But, like, there's more than gas prices, and there's more than grocery prices. There's a whole, like, you know, you got global diplomacy, you have, like, national development, you have public work services, you have public services. There's so much more. I mean, like, the Voting Rights Act was just gutted by the Supreme Court. They basically said you have to intentionally draw a map to discriminate against people. Whereas before, it was like, it doesn't matter if you intentionally did it or accidentally did it, the map needs to be changed. Who's going to be like, yeah, I intentionally drew that so this minority group couldn't have voting power? Like, nobody's just going to admit to that. So it doesn't make any sense. But they did it because they're dumb, I guess. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what Trump's got on these people, but they've done nada, as far as I'm concerned. Okay? Well, they've done a lot. They've just ruined a lot. I mean, like, once you're in office, like if I ran for office when Donald Trump had all those people who were winning office often, like, I would have Trump all the way through the election, won my vote. Maybe, you know, depending on how the vote comes down. And then, when I get into office, I'm in office now. What are you going to do? You can't do anything to me. The only thing you can do to me is not support me my next runaround. But if I do what the people who are in my district want, it doesn't really matter, because you have no power over me. I have the power over you as a legislator. But no, somehow, some way, and then in some timeline, it got flipped. And now the president, apparently, has control over the Senate and their careers, or something like that. Like, the Senate has the power to shoot down anybody that Donald Trump appoints. They could just do that. I mean, they can, you know, Donald Trump can veto things, but they can overturn a veto. They can not do things also. Like, it's checks and balances, but the checks and balances just aren't working. I don't know how. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the Constitution's just a piece of paper if it doesn't mean anything to you. So, if they're not going to do anything to protect the Constitution, then it doesn't really matter that it's there, does it? Anyways, I just ranted for, I don't know, like 7 minutes or so. I couldn't tell you. But we got about 2.5 minutes left. If you have anything you'd like to say, feel free to call in. 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. Alrighty, well, we've talked about a good bit here. We talked about all of the CEOs and tech people that Donald Trump brought to China with him. For political reasons, obviously. Yeah. We didn't talk about this. The CIA director, John Ratcliffe, met with the officials from Cuba's Ministry... from Cuba's Ministry of the Interior. And according to several official reports, the meeting served as a platform for Cuba to present evidence asserting that the nation poses no threat to the U.S. Which I could imagine is probably true. Cuba's just kind of been chilling, and we got problems with Cuba. I mean, no, there's all the Cuban Missile Crisis and a whole bunch of things. But, I guess we don't like communism. Anyways. Yeah, so we may or may not end up in conflict with Cuba at some point. We may or may not end up with conflict with China at some point. We're already in a de facto war with... Well, I don't know. We haven't given Ukraine weapons in a while, I don't think. At least I haven't heard about it. So, haven't read about it. But we are in a war with Iran. It's a mess right now. At least it's not World War III yet. You never know. Alrighty, well, if you can, if you would like to listen, you can listen anytime, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day at www.wwgh107.1.com. You can listen at the live at the bottom there. You can listen on the TuneIn app. Just look up WGH Talk, and we will be there. It'll be labeled Marion, Ohio. You can listen on Alexa. You can listen on Google Nest Mini, I'm sure. You can listen on the Roku TV. I've been told. I'm not sure of that. I don't have a Roku TV. But nonetheless, you can listen to us just about anywhere. We are live Monday through Friday. Well, we're live all the time, but you know, Monday through Friday. Well, Scott will be back Monday. I will be back Friday morning, all through the day. Have a good one and good night.
You're listening to The Talking Place. Just listen to former...